Welcome to Okay, Let's Talk. I'm your host, Kendall Ford. I am a writer, storyteller, and absolutely love empowering people. I believe that our stories and experiences, no matter how much pain or heartbreak they may have once caused, hold incredible power. The power to bring freedom, the power to uplift others, and the power to live triumphantly. Sometimes people just need a listening ear and a safe space. This is that space. So, okay, let's talk. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. I am so excited to welcome you to the first official episode of Okay, Let's Talk. This is our first inaugural episode, and I'm so excited to have you all here with me. This is a big deal for me, fulfilling some goals here. And so, as I said before, welcome to this space. Today, in this first ever episode, if you're like me and you listen to a lot of podcasts and things like that, it's really nice to know context. I love to not only listen to podcasts, but I like to know a little bit about the person that I'm listening to. You know, if I'm going to follow a podcast and subscribe to it and all that and allow someone into my space, into my headspace like that, I want to know a little bit about who they are. Just to, you know, provide that context. And so I want to do that today for you all. It's especially important to me because this show was birthed out of a painful place for me. It was birthed out of a really hard season. And so I want to invite you a little bit into this space. As I continue to heal and process, the show is so personal to me because of the headspace that it was birthed from and the season that it came from, that I just want to kind of invite you all into that a little bit to understand a little bit more about me and where the show came from. And also, you know, pain is a really interesting thing because pain and different types of pain bring out a lot of different things in people, but our pain, it's part of us. It's part of our story. And like I say all the time in the show Headliner, you know, our stories have power. I'm a deep believer of our stories have power. And though I felt like through the pain of some of the things I had gone through in the trauma of the last few years, and I'm sure a lot of us have felt that as well, you know, with COVID and a lot of us losing people and losing jobs and losing income, man, I'm sure that the pain that we've all felt has birthed some, or is going to birth some incredibly beautiful things. But you know, we still got to go through it. And so for me, the pain of the past few years, this power that's in my story, although I lost a lot, I am now gaining a lot of things as well from that. And some of the things that I gained, I'm learning that they're too good to keep to myself. And so my pain and my trauma, it tried to take my voice for a long time. I felt like I couldn't speak. I felt like I had no words. I felt like I couldn't breathe. But now I'm gaining strength. And that's why I feel it's important to share and to begin this season from this space. Because a lot of the episodes that come after this, a lot of the guests that I bring on, a lot of it will flow from this space of healing, this space of getting things out and clearing the air, this space of sharing your story because while it's a part of you, that pain does not define you. The pain that my daughter and I have gone through in the past couple of years, the trauma and some of the anger and things that have happened, they don't define us as women and as people and as a family. They're a part of us, but they do not define us. And so I invite you into this space with me, and I'm ready to share. And so, okay, let's talk. So my daughter and I have had an interesting journey. I am currently a single mom to an amazing 11-year-old, and I've worked in the nonprofit world for most of my adult life. most of that nonprofit world was spent in the religious world. So in religion, I am a Christian. And so in 2016, my daughter and I felt like we were being called to missions. We had prayed about it and really felt like this was something that God was bringing into our life for the both of us, and had always been a dream of mine to take her and move around the world and move overseas and have that experience of her, mostly because I tend to be the type of mom or type of woman who, when people tell me I can't do something, I'm probably going to now want to do it. Even if it wasn't something that I wanted to do beforehand, if someone tells me that I can't do something or I shouldn't do something, I'm probably going to want to do it more. And so I had had a lot of people tell me that, you know, I should lower my expectations in life. I will never live abroad. I will never do this. I'll never do that. And so when the opportunity came for us to go overseas, I felt not only that I knew that it was that God had already put that in my heart to do that, but I felt that I needed to do that to represent other single moms, especially single moms of color, and especially single moms of color coming out of Baltimore City. Because I was 20 when Cam was born. And so in that area, I was just another statistic, just another young Black girl having a baby. And since then, I've been committed to living my life not like a statistic, but like a daughter of the King, like a daughter of God. And so that's why we ended up moving to Africa. It was about wanting to live the fullest life that God has for Cam and for myself, but it was also about having seen all that Jesus has done in my life. I'm super passionate about helping other people have that experience. And it doesn't all have to look the same. It doesn't all have to, like, your worship doesn't have to look the same. The way you read the Bible doesn't have to look the same. The way you live doesn't have to look the same. But just know that, you know, in the world full of a lot of hatred and hopelessness, that I want people to know that Jesus is an option, and that the cliche of what Christians look like today, especially coming from white evangelical America, is not the norm. And so that was the understanding that I went into going into missions and going to specifically to Africa and then to Ethiopia. And so if you don't know anything about the missions process in most organizations, once you become accepted, you have to then raise support. I had never raised support in my life. and let me back up and just say, I had never even seen a Black missionary. So here I am. I was 26 at the time. Cam was 5 when we first got called into missions. And here I am trying to become a missionary, raise my support, never even seen a Black missionary before, never even seen a single mom missionary. So I was surprised, quite frankly, that my application even got accepted. But yeah, we, by the grace of God, we did raise our support. It was super hard. But I saw God move. I saw God do incredible things. I saw him open doors and let us be in places and spaces that I never could have put myself. And so when I think of that time of raising support, I think of God's provision. I think of God's love. I think of how God preordains us for things. Like, I really felt like in that season, he went before us and moved in ways that I could have never done on my own. And I think of that fundraising season, even though it was hard, I just think about how much God was present. But then we raised our support, right? And then we left. So I think it was August 13th, 2018. Cam and I had finally raised our support and we got on a plane and we left our family and moved to Ethiopia. And we were in the capital city, Addis Ababa. And it was amazing. I will say, however, that one of the first emotions after being there a week and things kind of beginning to settle and we were looking for a house and blah, blah, blah. One of the first emotions I began feeling almost immediately was grief. And this is something that I definitely know that I'll talk about again in another episode, because grief, like pain, is a really interesting feeling. people, and I don't think we talk about it enough, because people always think about grief and they think about, oh, I felt grief when I lost someone. But you can feel grief through the loss of a lot of things, not just the death of someone, right? And so Cam and I had an incredible support system back home. We have friends, we have family. And, you know, by me being a single parent, my support system is even much more important to me. And not only that, I think coming from the Baltimore area and coming from a community of color, while we don't still have the village mentality that may have existed years ago, it does exist still to an extent. And so I didn't realize at the time how much I was leaving. And so I just remember feeling this deeply intense grief, and I didn't know how to process it. I didn't know what to do with it. Some days it was almost debilitating. And that's why, again, I'm going to address this in another episode and talk about grief and bring someone in and talk about that, because I don't think we talk about it enough. But yeah, long story short, my grief transitioned into survival mode. And then I began feeling, probably around the second month there, I was began feeling that multi-level culture shock. And again, this is something that people do not talk about enough. So here I am, a young Black single mom from Baltimore City, moving to Africa, moving to Addis Ababa, the capital city of Ethiopia, to do urban ministry. I am from a city. I love cities. I love the sights and the sounds and the smells and the action and the people that you get there and the mix of different cultures. I love the food. Like, there's very few things that I don't like about cities, which is really funny because I'm not living in a big city now, but it's totally fine. But I love cities. But so Ethiopia was not my home though, right? So it's normal to experience some level of culture shock. But what I was realizing was that I was never feeling at home. And so you have, when you're among the Ethiopian community, you know, they're speaking Amharic, they're eating their food, drinking their things. And so it's new to you. So you're trying to adjust. And so you have this culture shock. But then I would go to work and I'm in the middle of Africa. And I essentially every day going to work felt like I was in the middle of white America. And so there's that culture shock, because it's white America. It's not my America, because those are two different Americas. And it was interesting to me that the team I was on would always try to just lump us all together as Americans. But I'm like here as the only person of color, the only person from the East Coast, the only person from a major city. And I'm sitting here like, your America and my America are two different Americas. So I'm never feeling at home. I'm never feeling in a community where I feel safe. And so that multi-level culture shock was really, really intense. And even then, still as an African-American, it was really interesting, because while I haven't done all the genealogy stuff to figure out where my family came from, I do know that my family's roots can be traced back to through slavery. And that means that someone in my family line was taken against their will from their home, sold into slavery, taken to America, and went through all of that, right? And so here I am in 2018 at the time, willingly going back to the motherland. While it probably wasn't Ethiopia, but it could have been anywhere, but willingly going back to the continent of my family, of my people, and really just taking the love of Jesus. And so for me, it was like my soul was at home on the continent. And even though I didn't know where, I was just like felt closer to my roots. And it was beautiful. If you are a person of color listening to this and you haven't been back to Africa, go. If you can trace your genealogy and your family's history and all that, do it and go. If you can't do that, still go. It is incredibly grounding and empowering for once be in a place where you are a majority, but also to just be in that space and in that culture. And it is life changing. Sorry, side plug. But yeah. But yeah, so my soul was at home, right? But then, like I said, every day I was going to work at the church where I was on staff, and I was essentially working in white America. And so there was all these things that were happening that I just was like, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in showing up in it. While I love Jesus, I don't believe in showing up in a place and not even taking in the culture, not even really genuinely loving the people. I don't believe in showing up in a place and telling them to accept the Jesus I have for them, regardless of what Jesus they have for themselves, because my Jesus is better. And essentially, that was what I felt like I had become a part of. And it was hard. I think it was at this point that my soul began to die a little bit. And I began to slowly break. My family began to slowly break, Cam and I, and that it was so hard. And, you know, I thought, honestly, and it's hard for me to admit this a little bit, because if you've known me, if you're listening to this and you know me for a long time, I would say that I'm a pretty confident person. Not overly cocky, but, my mama raised me right. I can usually walk into a room with my head held high, but I was second guessing myself so much in this season. Because I just felt like maybe it was me, you know, I thought if I read my Bible more, if I prayed more, if I fixed myself, then things would get better, but they didn't. It started to become clear that I was too different, i.e. Black, too much of an outsider, again, Black from a big city, that I was too much of myself to fit into this team. And so I tried to fix myself. I tried to read my Bible more. I tried to do all these things that would fix myself to make me more easily to digest. And now I realize I was watering myself down for these white people who really didn't even want me there. And I'm a team person, right? And so I felt like that part of me was being taken advantage of. I remember bringing it up to my leaders at one point, at about 3 months in. I was like, hey, I'm really struggling with the lack of diversity in our work environment. You know, for me, it's crazy because I'm living in Africa, right? But this is the least diverse work environment I have ever encountered. And my leader, what he said to me, what his response was, really? You don't think we're diverse? We think we're incredibly diverse because we have you. It was at that point, I think, where things began to take a turn for me. I began to realize, like, okay, we are not in the East Coast anymore. We are encountering a whole new part of America in the middle of Africa. I love to be on teams. I even though I'm a dominant personality, I feel like we get a bad rep. Like, oh, we don't like people who are dominant. Don't like to be on teams. They don't like to be the follower. And I'm like, that's such a lie. I am a more dominant person and a more dominant personality, but I love working on teams. I love being able to collaborate with people. I love being able to do life with people. But I felt like that part of me in this season was taken advantage of. But at the same time, I wanted to honor God. I wanted to honor my commitment. And so honestly, I was just torn. And that being torn just put me deeper into survival mode. And that was when, you know, as I processed some of this in therapy, after the fact, I realized that this is where I started to go wrong. Because, you know, regardless of what kind of things people do to us and what happens to us, we got to learn how to own our own crap. And I could own the fact that this was where I began to mess up. And I began to walk that thin line between wanting to please Jesus and then wanting to please these people who I was serving with in Africa. You know, I don't have any problem confronting people, but I don't like to always be the causer of confrontation. And it felt like that was always the case with me when I was there. And I was just like, why? Why am I so me? Why am I so Black? Like, why am I so why am I so much all the time? And so it was like, I wanted to be a good teammate. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be part of the team. And that was hard because, you know, I'm a single parent. I'm there without my support system. You got to make friends again, which is already hard as an adult in America. But then you take yourself out of your culture and put yourself in someone else's culture. And you don't know the language yet. And so you're like, who do I talk to? And yeah, so that was really where I began to walk that thin line of trying to please Jesus versus trying to please others. Looking back on it now, I probably should have left then. But again, I was like, I gotta honor this commitment, right? That's again where I see like some missionaries, they make an idol out of staying on the field. I've sat across from so many missionaries and heard them say things like, oh, well, my firstborn died. I lost my big toe. And I'm whatever, name the tragedy. And such, you know, they went home after a month and they couldn't even make it. And so I'm like, you know what, though? that's trauma and maybe you need therapy. So maybe you should go home. As a new missionary, as new even in ministry, I think I maybe fed off of that a little bit because I knew that at that point, if I had said, you know what, this environment isn't healthy for me and my family, I don't morally agree with what's going on here. If I had said like we're gonna bow out, we're gonna go home early, then those white folks would have talked about me so bad behind my back. And it felt like if I didn't just suck it up and get through it, it really felt like another single mom or another Black missionary wouldn't be allowed to go on the field. And I really felt the weight of representing these two minorities in ministry and in missions, that if I couldn't succeed or if I just couldn't suck it up, I wouldn't be able to pave the way for them. And so I stayed. We stayed until March of 2020 when COVID hit, and yeah, it was a lot. On the next episode, I'm going to talk about our second year overseas and things that kind of shifted inside of me. I'm going to talk about our evacuation and life since then. So join me for part two next week. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Okay, Let's Talk. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date on our latest episodes. You can also check the episode notes for ways to get in touch with me and for more info on the show. Until next time, own your story and live empowered. Bye.